In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Best peace and blessings be upon our Master Prophet Muhammad, his household members and companions. We're doing some commentary in the chapter of thunder, the last verses of this chapter, in which Almighty Allah says, whether we show you, O Muhammad, part of what we have promised them or threatened them within your lifetime or cause you to die before it is fulfilled, your duty is only to convey the message, and on us is the reckoning. It is us who will call them to account and who will call them to reckoning. Almighty Allah is threatening and warning the enemies of His prophets and messengers, the enemies of His teachings. He threatened them of humiliation and punishment. And defeats and torment in this world and in the world to come. These verses at the time of their revelation were a kind of reply to the disbelievers. The Prophet, peace be upon him, at that time was in a kind of a crisis and very much annoyance and torture from his enemies, who used to torture his weak companions to the extent some of them fled to Abyssinia, running away of torture and all kinds of humiliation and torment. So the Prophet, peace and the blessings be upon him, supplicated Almighty Allah to raise and elevate His word and to give victory to His believers. So the Holy Quran brought some verses similar to this to console the Prophet and his companions. So whether we show you part of what we have threatened them or cause you to die before you see that, because Almighty Allah might delay or postpone the punishment of disbelievers, those who are stubborn, who are disbelieving in Allah's prophets and messengers. So Almighty Allah might delay this requital or retribution. Time might punish them for some of what they had earned or had done in this world before the hereafter. Almighty Allah is telling the Prophet that this is not of your speciality. O Muhammad, may Allah send more blessings and raise the position of Prophet Muhammad and his household members and companions. Your duty is only to convey the message, and the reckoning is on us. It is up to us to bring people to account and to punish people. So a Muslim, whether he or she is a disobedient one or not, whether he's an oppressor or a wrongdoer, Almighty Allah might delay the punishment for such people and might punish some others to be a moral to other people. And Almighty Allah might not punish them in this world at all, as He says, for example, in some verses, in verse 44, chapter 68, He says, we shall punish them gradually from directions they do not perceive. So we will leave them step by step to their ruin, in ways beyond their knowledge. Pharaoh, for example, was a very strong king, yet Almighty Allah caused him to be drowned in the sea, and directly after that he entered hellfire. As Almighty Allah said, Allah saved him from the evils that they blooded, while an evil torment encompassed Pharaoh and his people. They are exposed to the fire morning and afternoon, and on the day of judgment they will be established, or the hour will be established, and it will be said to the angels, cause Pharaoh people to enter the severest torment or penalty. So when the people correct their morals and develop their personalities, as everyone has to do, every Muslim man and woman has to start from the beginning that the Prophet started from. The Prophet, peace be upon him, started from the cave of Hira, but his companions did not go to the cave because the Prophet was their cave. They were with the Prophet, peace and the blessings be upon him, as a person who's watching and who's fully aware that his Lord is with him. As Almighty Allah said to the people of the cave, seek refuge in the cave. Your Lord will open a way for you from his mercy and will make easy for you your affairs. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the company of the Prophet, the companionship with the Prophet, was their seclusion and was their solitude, because the Prophet, peace and the blessings be upon him, said, one follows the religion of their friend, so each one should examine and carefully choose whom they befriend. So you have to carefully choose your friends, because you will copy their characteristics and behaviors. The companions and every Muslim, the companions reached, as every Muslim should reach, a status in which all their direction and all their intents should be directed to Almighty Allah. You should strip your heart off of every connection to this world. And this is one of the meanings of remembrance of Allah. This is one of the meanings that a worshipper recites when he says, I have turned my face towards him who has created the heavens and the earth. I have devoted myself absolutely to him. And this is also one of the meanings of the verse 24 in chapter 9, which says, say, if your parents, children, siblings, spouses, relatives, and the money that you have earned, and the commerce in which you fear a decline, and the homes you cherish, are dearer and more beloved to you than God and His Messenger, and the striving in His cause, then just wait until God brings you His judgment. And God does not guide the wicked and the rebellious people. Unfortunately, some Muslims understood this to stay in hermitages and to stay jobless, but this is wrong. Almighty Allah said that you have to prepare strength and all capabilities to face challenges and to raise the word of God. Muslims established the pace for the European revolution and the European awakening. Now, Europeans and Americans are digging the oceans and taking out oil. So if you are not on this position, and if you have not reached this situation, which is loving Almighty Allah and His Messenger and strive in His cause more than anything else, if you do not love Him more than anything else, then you should wait for His punishment. So also after Almighty Allah and His Messenger, you should love the heirs of the prophets, the inheritors of the prophets and messengers, those who inherited their heritage. Then if you do not do so, then you are a rebellious one, you are a disobedient, and thus you are rejecting Allah's guidance. So if the affairs of this world and the affairs of the hereafter are equal in your sight and are equal in matter of importance for you, then you are a disobedient servant of Allah. You have to love the affairs of the hereafter and to love Allah and all things related to Him more than anything else. You have to exert all your efforts to keep the word of Allah raised and elevated up, to spread the message of Allah as He planned and as He managed. Almighty Allah mentions the story of Dhul Qarnayn, or the two-horned man, in the chapter of Cave, telling us that he reached the rising place of the sun, which is the far east, and he also reached the setting place of the sun, which is the far west. This is an indication that Muslims have to reach the far east and the far west in spreading the word of Allah and raising His word and spreading His message. And this is how they understood, and this is how they practiced, and this is what they did. The Muslim armies, not the armies of soldiers, but the armies of callers and traders who spread the message of Islam, they reached the Sindh River, and they reached China and France. But unfortunately, after that, Muslims deviated and strayed from the way of the Prophet. Muslims, when they committed to the Prophet's way, they reached Indonesia and Philippines in the east, and they penetrated the mountains and the deserts and sailed the oceans to spread the message of Allah. So this is faith. And this verse tells the Prophet that he has to stand and to bear the different kinds of torment and different kinds of rejection of the disbelievers. So Almighty Allah is instructing him to be patient, not to hasten, not to ask for quick punishment to the disbelievers. So Almighty Allah told the Prophet that we might punish them now, and we might delay their punishment so that you will not see them punished. But your only mission is to convey our message to people. And on the other hand, you have to be patient. You have to remain steadfast on the faces of their rejection and their challenge and their torment as well. The Holy Quran teaches us as in the chapter 31, verse 17, saying, "O my dear son," Luqman says to his son, "observe prayer and enjoin good and forbid evil and endure patiently whatever may befall you. Surely this is of those matters which require high resolve. These are some of the important commandments ordered by Allah with no exemption. So you have to be patient. You have to establish prayer, to perform prayer, and to enjoin all what is right, and to forbid all what is evil, and to be patient, towards whatever may befall you, to endure patiently whatever may befall you. You might face different kinds of tiredness, and even you might face death. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did not reach the best position among human beings with ease. Not at all. He faced many kinds of torment, many kinds of tiredness, many kinds of challenges. But at the end, he became the best of human beings, as Almighty Allah said. The companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, were able to unite after the Prophet, and the Prophet himself was able to unite all the Arab tribes and to make them one community after they were disputing tribes and backward tribes and ignorant ones. He did not leave this life except after making them great people who were almost prophets, as he described them. Some of the disbelievers were punished in the time or during the life of the Prophet. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, who was employed as a shepherd by one of the Meccans, he, despite the fact that he was a short person, he himself killed one of the masters of Quraysh and one of the masters of the Meccans who fought the Prophet and his companions. He killed him during one of the battles. So Almighty Allah is telling the Prophet, whether we show you part of what we punish, what we threaten them within your lifetime, or we cause you to die before this is fulfilled, your duty is only to convey the message. And on the Day of Judgment, as Almighty Allah said, we will set up the scales of justice for the Day of Resurrection. Then none will be dealt with unjustly in anything. No soul will be mistreated at all. Actions as small as a grain of mustard seed shall be weighed out. And if there be the weight of a mustard seed, we will bring it, and sufficient are we as reckoners. Enough are we to take account. Also, Almighty Allah says that whoever does an atom's weight of good will see it, and whoever does an atom's weight of evil will see it and will be punished for it. Almighty Allah says that He made them to taste the disgrace in this present life, but a greater is the torment of the hereafter if they only knew. The taste of disgracing torment in the hereafter is more and severer. So whether we show you how we punish them or not, whether they see the miracles from you or not. This will not benefit them. But anyway, you will be victorious. As Almighty Allah said in His Holy Quran, many places and many regions turned to accept Islam, and ignorance turned to be knowledge and good education. So the actions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, were great miracles that proved to the believers, to the pagans, that he is a prophet. But they did not take heed, because they did not use their minds. For example, the bug seeks grease because this is its food. Even a mosquito searches for a hole in the mosquito net to find its food. So these creatures have minds, but according to their nature. A donkey, for example, has a mind, but it is a mind of a donkey. When you offer a donkey an Arab sweet or some hay, it will choose hay. It has chosen this according to its mind. So may Allah give you the righteous mind, the angelic mind. And the Holy Quran always tells people that they have to understand, they have to reflect, and they have to contemplate on things. Almighty Allah says, telling them that, don't you see that we are curtailing the earth from its sides? And don't you find that disbelief is being contracted and being reduced? So this is an enough proof that the Prophet was right. But you have to strive and to struggle against your ego to accept the truth. And after that, you have to exert all your efforts to spread knowledge. Not only the knowledge of reading and writing, but the good morals, the purified souls, the angelic culture, the angelic morals, the culture of the Holy Quran that combines and balances between body and soul, and between the affairs of this present life and the life of the hereafter. These teachings make not only the Arabs as one community, but make the whole world as one community. So the unity of the Arabs is one of the aims of Islam. Their freedom is only one of the aims of Islam. The aims and the goals of Islam is to guarantee the welfare and prosperity to all human beings, to have good health, to have good health care, to have all their needs. And this is what all ideologies call for. So this Quran was revealed in the Arabic language at first to make the Arabs understand this message than to spread it to all people, to lead the world, not the leadership of colonization or hegemony, but to lead peoples to knowledge, to brotherhood, to love, to freedom, to liberty, and to civilization, as the early Arabs did when they truly understood the Holy Quran and when they truly recited it as it should be recited, and when they read it as it should be read, and when they followed it as it ought to be followed. Those Muslims reached the suburbs of Paris through the understanding of the Holy Quran. They had one state, one country. The Arabian Peninsula contained some tribes and some peoples who had some very humble houses made of clay and some tents. Yet the Prophet, peace be upon him, transformed them to be great people who led other peoples to civilization and to advancement. All that happened through the devoted and sincere callers of Islam and traders and merchants and sincere ones. Now the Arabs, with all their universities, with all their efforts, have not been able to unite two Arab countries, and cannot unite themselves. Now, we cannot even reach our own territories, such as the Golan Heights or the some Palestinian territories. The Holy Quran is not only to be recited, but to be understood and to be carried out and to be practiced and translated into actions and behavior and good morals, and after that to be taught to others. When you see a true Muslim, you should see a practical Quran. You will see the fruits of the Holy Quran in this Muslim, in all its teachings, in strength, in richness, in globality, in all good meanings. May Allah guide Muslims and Arabs to the way of their Lord, who is the Lord of all creation. Because this message is not only for the Arabs, but it is for all human beings. And if the Arabs reject, then if they turn away, Almighty Allah will exchange them for some other people who will not be like them. He will replace them by other people. So Almighty Allah says that, do they not see that we gradually reduce the land of disbelievers by giving it to believers in war victories? Do they not see that we gradually reduce the land from its outlying borders? And Allah judges, and there is none to put back his judgment. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was able to unite the Arabs with no casualties, and in all his battles he was only defensive. The first battle, which it was the Battle of Badr, he was going to take back the money that was stolen from him and his companions, the money that were confiscated by the people of Quraysh. But the caravan ran away, yet the people of Quraysh insisted to fight, and the Prophet defended himself and his state, his new established state or city. In the second battle, which is the Battle of Uhud, the people of Quraysh wanted to take revenge from the Muslims, and the Prophet and his companions won the battle, but at the end some of the Muslims disobeyed the Prophet's commands and they were defeated. That was a lesson to all Muslims to follow the Prophet's way completely and perfectly. All praise be to Allah, the Lord of all creation.